Oh, hi.
Cool.
So are we doing this in English or German? The program says English. So whatever. Hi, I'm Finn. I'm talking about the journalism project called Luminous Flux. I'll also talk about things we've learned working on the project. We gave a short introduction on this project at camp, where we kind of only mentioned it on the sidelines of a much bigger thing. So I'll go over the concept once again, and then present some neat things, how far we are, what our future plans are, and what we learned. So the concept was created 2 years ago, approximately, when a friend of mine came to MetaLab, the hackerspace in Vienna, which is great and you should have one. We asked ourselves how we want to consume news. That's okay, actually. We are like 20-somethings, know how the internet works, are politically interested, and basically the perfect news consumers. We had one problem and it looked like this. Or it looked like this 10 years ago for our parents, which is we come back from vacation or some time offline, and usually what would happen is you have like one newspaper per day waiting for you when you get home. For us, this looks like this after a day, and this after a week. That was our problem, right? We have lots of unread news articles, and when we want to dive into an issue and even try to read all these articles, we realize that the format of news is kind of weird. The interesting things, long-running issues like corruption issues, political processes, all the good stuff is basically happening over multiple days, weeks, or months, and they're being covered day by day by newspapers. And what happens is there's one article at the start, and on the next day you get an update. On the next day, you get an update. Basically, you get a series of diffs with very little context, which means if you read like the third article in the series, you have no idea what the context is, and you can't even try to understand it. And we asked ourselves, what if the internet was invented before news? Would this be covered the same way like we do now? We print something, then we never look at it again? Or would it be covered in a more concise form, in maybe an ever-expanding, continuously updated form, like if news editors wrote Wikipedia articles? And basically, that's our project. The dynamically presented part of this is my favorite part. We know when you last read the story about the topic, and we highlight the changes since then. So this is a thing we wrote over a weekend, basically a European scandal involving Austrian members of European Parliament. And what you see highlighted as yellow is basically if you read the article the day before and it was changed. And there are two parts to the whole view, our whole view on things. The left part is the normal story that is continuously updated and like you would find on Wikipedia, but it may be biased and it just isn't restricted to the hundreds of thousands guidelines that Wikipedia has, among which is we don't cover news. On the right side, we try to bring transparency to news, basically. What we want people to who work on stories to do is also publish all the sources in a media stream. And even before they update the main story, we want them to put all the sources in the media stream, which may sound familiar. My main co-conspirator on this is Christoph from Soup, so yeah, that's good. And at some point we realized this is not only what we want, but it also increases, it also has a major upside that we haven't even thought about, which is once you take license to change things, once you don't print on paper, you can create a feedback loop between a reader and an editor. And fun fact, quality assurance is one of the holy grails of journalism. Like, no one knows how to do it because it's all one shot, right? You can either, you cannot measure quality, and you don't really want to fire your writers after one bad article either. So giving them direct access to feedback is really, really neat. But you don't want to do that in a YouTube comment stream style. We thought about giving the users several ways of interacting with the content, like submitting factual corrections. We realize that journalists are not experts in their topics. They just learn really fast and try to get an overview. So if an expert reads an article, like we do every day and facepalm every day, we actually want to submit corrections to the newspaper. Like, this is wrong, because that's my day job. What we also want to do is have a Q&A section that basically works like Reddit, and the most upvoted questions have to be answered by the people who write the story, who edit the story, which is a neat way of identifying the flaws in the story. And it allows a good conversations on the stories itself. And if you want to have the main story as factual as possible, you might even want your users to blow off steam instead of in normal comment sections as opinion pieces. Like, you can actually ask your readers to write op-eds and like looking at the standard or YouTube forums, they'll probably do it. So that's basically the concept. It's a neat way to consume news, and it's a neat way to enable conversations around news. So after camp, we were like, we want to do this, but we just got a huge rejection from a grant agency where we had hoped to get some money from. And at the same time, there was a lot of discussion in mainly the US future of news blogosphere about how the article is like not the best thing to happen and how to change it. So we didn't even know if we could make this work, but like a month later, a neat grant agency in Austria where we had submitted but never really considered that we'd actually be taken, actually funded the project. So that's my thing this year. I'm working on this half-time. Interesting story about this. This is actually funded by the Austrian domain agency. Like, if you have a .at domain, they can't make money off that, but they are owned by a non-profit that has to put all the money, all they earn, in things that are good for the Austrian internet. So they fund like CERT and these kind of competition grant agency stuff. So we've been working on this since February-ish with breaks for like traveling. And this works. Like the first half, basically, we have pretty much the history nailed down. We can highlight changes. We can have you navigate stories. We have a backend that's Django stuff. And as of 1 hour ago, you can actually sign up and create your own articles on that platform on that. And a lot of things don't work perfectly yet. The Django admin interface is kind of clunky, but it's a start. And we still reserve to nuke the database at any time because everyone has super user powers. But it works. We are actually using it to document our own. We basically have to blog about our progress, and we're basically dog fooding and using that platform as the official blog thing. It's all open source. And there's the main Python and Django source code. And there's a small side project that's called OverDiff, which is, if you ever need the direct output of a diff algorithm, like not plus minus text lines, but actual ranges, that's that. I didn't find it, so we modified the Python diff lib to actually do that. And that's that. And we learned something on the way. At camp, we were like, this one was one of our things to consider for journalism projects. Instead of being the first on the scene, you should detect, curate, and fact check. And one project is always on the back of people's minds when they hear our concept, and that's Storify. Ah, that one. Yeah. Storify is a way to curate your live stream, basically. If you see an interesting conversation on Twitter and would want to put it in context, you can basically search for that conversation in the admin backend and like comment on it and create stories that would otherwise be lost. And like after a week of constantly being compared to that project, I actually met one of the co-founders of Storify, and they instantly knew what was good about our project. And so we kind of love each other, and it's a good thing. Also, things that happened after Congress is suddenly people were working on a data journalism handbook, which is, as of 2 weeks ago, online on datajournalismhandbook.org. I'm not involved in this, but it's really neat as a start in, if you know statistics and know big data and want to do journalism, you want to read this. If you're a journalist and want to make sense of data, you want to read this. And it's free. It's online, like one version of it is online. It's really not well navigatable. I think that's because there's an O'Reilly edition being planned, and people should also buy the paperback. But it's there. Also, there's been a lot of things going on around long-form journalism. What you usually find in magazine pieces, like in the Rolling Stone and stuff. There was this huge Kickstarter around a thing called Matter, which is a brilliant project around in-depth writing and investigative journalism all around science. And they're launching in summer. They got like 5 times of the original Kickstarter amount that they needed. And it's all, you pay for content, it will be behind a paywall. But it's like buying a magazine and reading really interesting stuff, so I guess it's fair. And in the German-speaking world, there's a thing not entirely unlike this. It's called Reportagen. And it's based in Switzerland, And what they do is they bring out a paper magazine every 2 months full of reportagen. And from all kinds of different writers, they actually republish old reportages too, like historic around 1900. And what they do is they have the books, which are really nice. They have great infographics. I really like them, sorry. And you pay about 15 euros for one edition of it, or 75 euros for a yearly subscription. Or you can pay 45 for a yearly subscription of all online content. They do audiobooks and PDF versions of all the content, so you can listen to reportages too. It's neat, and it's Swiss. And one more thing is, at some point we realized that newspapers should hire hackers. And if you look at News Corp, that you could also do that with crackers. Like, they might have benefited from that, but I'm talking about the two other definitions of hacker. And the first is people who like programming. And if you look at what's happening in the US with CNN posting magazine-like pieces online on their website, or the AP doing a huge open source data visualization and data analysis project called Overview, which tries to find interesting collections in huge data dumps like WikiLeaks articles or Freedom of Information Act dumps, or the New York Times with the infographics, with the interactive infographics with this one was about build your own budget, like cross this and this, and you see how much debt the US will still have even though you cut millions on healthcare. So all these things wouldn't have happened if they didn't have programmers who are actually in the editorial process, right? Programmers who are willing to work around their CMSs to do weird magazine-like stuff, or programmers who are interested in like deep and big data work. So hire programmers, but also hire that kind of hacker. I like techno-creative enthusiasts most, and that's happening mostly because in the US 10 years ago, that was the circulation of newspapers, and now it's this. And at some point, someone, not me, said every newspaper should have at least one full-time position about thinking about the future. So you want a futurist to actually work around and experiment with things that might make you money in the future. And this is happening right now, but it's happening against the established structures in newspaper corporations, not because of them. So if you have BBC implementing iPlayer like 2 years before everyone wants to stream content, that's not because the BBC has given everyone license to do interesting things. That was basically a lucky shot. But yeah, you want people, and you want to empower people to work and experiment with whatever you're doing in the future. And there's some interesting things happening there. There's Hacks Hackers thing, where journalists, hacks, and hackers get together and talk about the future of journalism. We're doing the same in Vienna, and we called it Collides because the domain was free and good. And what is happening here is, in Vienna we had an intro to journalism for hackers. We had the first major meeting was a get-together and basically philosophizing about the future of journalism. The second one was on data journalism, and on Tuesday this week we'll talk about drone journalism. So we have a journalist talking about why this is neat, and a hacker talking about why this is neat and what's dangerous. Interesting thing there is we keep getting like visitors are coming mostly from the journalism side and are asking, oh, that's just like 20 people. I expected much more. You should have told me to bring people. And we're like, of course you should bring people. In this whole framework, we also found a journalist who really wanted to create network visualizations of the whole corruption thing going on in Austria right now. That was in one of our newspapers, and at some point we tried to make a dynamic version of this and had like two meetups, 4 hours each, talking about user interfaces and how to do that, and we totally failed. For mostly lack of time, but also because it's really, really complicated. So if any one of you has done complicated network visualizations, we should talk. The next meetup on that series is, as I said, on Tuesday in Vienna, so you should come. And that's the two projects and questions. I was really fast, I'm sorry. Questions.
Well, can you say something about the event on Tuesday?
It will be on drone journalism. So we have one hobbyist who likes to strap cameras on quadrocopters and who will talk about like how that is going, and he has also researched like the legal situation in Vienna. So why he probably shouldn't do what he's doing. And the journalist has been researching the whole topic for a while and also watching Occupy use the same kind of technology, and he'll talk about why this is a good thing still. Okay. I guess I was really too fast. You may go now. Thanks for listening.